Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Rooster Crows Podcast. My name is Tyler Campbell, and today we'll be hearing a live sermon by Reverend Roberta Howie, recorded live from the Lawrence Park Community Church Sanctuary on a Sunday morning. Today's sermon is titled, The Blueprints.
Today we are continuing our series that we started at the beginning of the year, and we're doing at least one sermon each month throughout the year about the 100th anniversary of the United Church of Canada. And today felt especially poignant because yesterday evening, we voted in the moderator, or we voted on who would be the moderator for the next triennium of the United Church. And so I wanted to explore that a little bit because the moderator position is a weird one. I'm not gonna lie, it's very odd. And I fully expected that there would be a story of conflict somewhere in there, of drama, of intrigue I could bring you. I was able to do that with some of our exploration around both the 88 vote and LGBTQ rights in the UCC. I was able to do that with the women's vote and with women involvement in the UCC. I am sorry to report that this was boring. Just dull as dishwasher. I'm sorry. I tried. I looked very hard. I was looking for one very juicy article that would tell you that there was so much arguing and infighting, and instead it was dull. And honestly, I'm very okay with that. Canadian history itself, let's be honest, it has a history of violence. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We have our own horrific marks of colonialism, of oppression, of using violence against those who stand in the way of the government that wanted to make sure that stability was the primary focus. However, the formation of Canada itself, compared to other countries such as Ireland, where immediately after we arrived, within 24 hours, we went to the Kilmainham jail, which housed all the political dissidents from one of at least three or four uprisings, attempts from the Irish people to overthrow the English site and have Irish independence. We don't quite have that in Canada. The Americans have not just the American Revolution, but a whole civil war afterwards. And again, we have violence, but not to that scale. Similarly, our church history of the United Church of Canada, while there's roots of some violence and their roots of drama and political intrigue, it is a very nice veneer of boringness on top. Many denominations can't say the same, including ones in Ireland, the UK, and yes, in Canada, and in the US, where we have stories of the church being actively involved in either civil unrest as a proponent of the stability at all costs, or a proponent of active political violence in order to move things along. There were threats of violence and actual violence upon people. They destroyed property. People were arrested for disagreeing with theology. Whether it was the Southern Baptist Convention in the U.S. forming as a denomination to endorse slavery, the Lutheran Church forming to reform against the perceived corruption of the Catholic Church and having people take that to an extreme, I don't think we're going to see. No one is coming up here to burn this pulpit for being too ornate. We can talk all day about the Catholic Church and how it chooses its leaders. If you are in a denomination where at some point there's four people claiming to be the one that God sent down to be the head of it, and there were scuffles and fights and infighting and governments being involved, You can't say you have a boring church. The Christian churches and denominations that we encounter are structures, yes, with the Holy Spirit moving through them, but they are also set up by humans. Humans are messy. While the UCC has our problems, I can say with confidence, having searched far and wide, that no one has been jailed because they disagreed with a new creed, or has had been or been threatened with violence because the 1960s new curriculum was something they either endorsed or denied. Our development was slow. It took decades of conversations across churches. It took meetings after meetings after meetings. But as anyone who has built anything will tell you, you could get it fast, you could get it cheap, you can get it good. You can get maybe 2 out of 3, but you're not getting all of them. We chose to take our time. We chose to be careful. And because of that, we chose to be deliberate and discerning of what the Spirit was telling us to do. Where the only death calls that we had were people saying that the United Church was going to die. We look pretty good for 100 years old. After a decade of discussion, we finally meet in 1925 in Toronto to do the inaugural worship service. If anyone here has tried to do a worship service with more than one congregation, you will understand just how difficult this was. You had to combine the Congregationalists, more independent, more focused on, as the name suggests, a congregation, a single unit, might be connected to other churches. You got the Methodists that work with councils of elders, that work with a structure that is not quite hierarchical, but there's still fairly rigid structure in there. And then you got the Presbyterians that have elders and presbyters and bishops up and down, and they have to figure out how to worship together. Some of it is easier. They pick the hymns that go across the board. But how do you decide who runs this thing? How do you decide who is actually driving the bus for a little bit? Finally, more meetings, etc., etc. They have their own consensus across the board. Congregations would have independent financial autonomy. They would be the ones to decide what part of their budget goes where. Part of that budget would go to the Presbyterian conference level, which, amongst everything else, would oversee the clergy and make sure that the clergy that are coming in have the appropriate training and discipline. The national office would tie everyone together, take care of the mission and service and evangelizing work, and create those larger policies. Easy peasy. The leader is the moderator. This is not a new concept. Other churches have had moderators before, including the Presbyterian Church of Canada had its first moderator in 1875. Why 1875? I don't know. It took them longer with even more meetings and discussions, and they finally got there. Many other denominations have one, including many united and uniting church denominations across the globe. For the still brewing denomination, where the flavors of each church were still merging together and they were trying to figure out how to get along and not break up before the ink is dry, a moderator was appropriate. The term of the moderator would be for 2 years, now expanded as of the 90s to 3. And for them, it worked out nicely. If your moderator is good, you can find one that was similar and continue that path, continue that journey. If you didn't like the moderator, well, you just had to outlast them. You can make it past 2 years. There are no lifetime positions. There's no re-election. The moderator doesn't even need to be an ordained minister. We've had 4 lay people in the history of the United Church be the head of our church. They simply need to be a member of the United Church in good standing, nominated by other people in the UCC. They meet, and as done this past weekend, each nominee is able to present their vision for the church, what they see it could be for 3 years. And then there's voting. Then, after a couple people are eliminated, we keep going and voting until we're down to one. And as of last night, it will be the soon-to-be very reverend, the Reverend Dr. Kimberly Heath. The moderator is just that. They moderate. They're not a pope. They're not God's representative here bestowing the word of the holiest of holies to all of us. They're not here to enact rules that the church must abide by. They're not also the leader of an independent church where more independent or mega churches, they rely on the leadership of elder councils and that one sole pastor or maybe that team of pastors, but they enact sole executive decisions. There's none of that. They're one part governor general, one part ambassador, one part pastor, one part prophet, and one part executive chair to the church's board. The amount of trust and faith it takes to be able to say to someone, we trust you with the vision that we have for the next 3 years, that is very scary. There are times where I will not argue in the UCC, though I'm sure others will, there are times where we vote incorrectly. There are times we bet on the wrong horse. There are times we think things are gonna go well, and then you know what, war breaks out. A pandemic happens, and now we have to pivot everything last minute. Our hope to make things go as smoothly as possible is also one that's filled with the possibility of everything going wrong very quickly. And yet, faith and hope. Faith that the person that we choose is one who is going to lead with compassion, that they are bringing their absolute best selves. Hope that as a church, we can follow their vision of justice, of God's love, of being able to celebrate God's presence. And also faith in us, that we are able to enact that ourselves, because these are not just random people out in the middle of nowhere. No one in this room is more than 2 or 3 degrees of separation from the moderator right now. And if you weren't, or if you aren't for Reverend Dr. Heath, you're going to find out. We're a very small church. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody is able to impact it somehow, large or small. The moderator's vision of the church for their brief and important term is one that is so precious. Are we looking for someone that will lead us through rocky shores or lead us through rocky waters to safe shores, telling us to not rock that boat too hard? Are we looking for someone that says, let's take big risks, let's try something bold and daring and see what happens? Are we looking for a little bit of both? Are we looking for someone that's willing to call out politicians and world leaders? Are we looking for someone that can give us compassion? Sometimes we look for all of it, and sometimes we're surprised. This week's reading is one where we wrap up the Abraham story, where the early church is now seeing these covenants having to play out in real time. They know that Abraham and Sarah are from generations before, but they were building their kingdom, building their family, building their community, even back then, preparing for what now, today, would look like. Paul, in his early letters, is telling the flock that Jesus is going to return in months. Remember this. Maybe years, so don't worry about the details. Just sit tight. But now we're addressing what happens when we need to extend that faith a little bit more than that. Paul is reassuring them that Abraham and Sarah didn't make covenants with God and expected immediate results, nor do we. We make covenants with God, we pray, we hope, we dream, knowing that it's probably going to take a little while, that it's going to take a little bit of faith that it's probably not going to be many years before we see what our moderator is able to do. Those seeds that are planted today will have to grow, but we can water them. We can shape them. We could plant our own. As children of God, Abraham and Sarah were doing their best, just as we are, just as our new moderator will, to become the head of a church and to lead a denomination is another covenant, one that is made with you and me and the leader and with God. When I say it's boring, our history, it's because it took discernment, but we did it. All that happened was people coming into the room with prayer and with hope and saying, yes, this will work. We'll check in on it soon. And if we need to change it, we'll change it. But we trust that it will work. It's a covenant that you and I have made by being here this morning. To love and serve others, seek justice and resist evil, proclaim Jesus crucified and risen as our judge and our hope. To know that in life and in death, and life beyond death, we are not alone. We are with a church that surrounds this community with love. We are with a community that surrounds the world with compassion. And we are with people such as our new moderator, all the nominees that threw their visions in as well, ones that we can contemplate and marinate on, and all those who will be enacting the new triennium of hope and dream. We are with them, and they are with us. We have faith, and that's enough. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Rooster Crows Podcast. We at Lawrence Park Community Church are a progressive church in North Toronto. If you'd like to learn more about the church and the things that we do, check out our YouTube channel, which has recordings of entire services and sermons. And for more details, go to our website at lawrenceparkchurch.ca. As you finish this podcast, we're going to hear Moment Museau in D-flat major, performed by Jeffrey Conker on piano. We hope you enjoy and have a wonderful week.